Everyone, thanks for joining us. I look forward to our next hour together. Hopefully we will get it done just a little bit sooner. I see we have people from all over Canada joining us, and I appreciate you joining us. I'm going to move forward. So today you are attending the session regarding the with the Learning Disabilities Association. We're going to be discussing current legislation, rights, and responsibilities, and we thank you for joining us. So if you have any questions at all, please send information into our chat box, and we will be able to answer questions there. I wanted to introduce myself before we go any further. I am Brenda McBride with HumanWare, and we create portable handheld solutions for individuals that are blind, low vision, and have learning disabilities. And I oversee products developed for individuals with learning disabilities. And my interest in bringing this topic today is for us to become informed and aware of technology and supports that are available to us that we might not be aware of. And so this particular device is called the Classmate Reader. Some of you might have seen it before. Some of you might have not. It's a portable digital talking book player that actually synchronizes text and audio together to create a multisensory approach to learning. And there's built-in study tools in there. So we have a built-in recorder. We can put in highlights, bookmarks, and we can navigate that material. And so for Canadians, the formats that are presented on the bottom, we many times are not aware of. And I'm going to be talking about what does DAISY mean and the power of DAISY. And it's actually an international standard that we need to be aware of and to be asking. So we also can play MP3 files and WAV files on this. We can play OGG Vorbis. We can also transfer information from text, rich text format, HTML, and XML files. And so this creates an opportunity to carry a whole lot of information with you on the go and not necessarily a computer system. So here are some other devices that we also support and use. The Stream, there's many, many units in the U.S. and around the world. Actually, we're an international company. So with that, I actually want to transfer information, not transfer, but I want to introduce Claudette. And I've known Claudette. We talked yesterday, and it's been 12-plus years that we've actually probably worked together. And so I used to sit on the board for Canada, and Claudette's done some wonderful work in development and supports that we have access on our internet, and we have thousands of people coming to see that resource information from around the world. But we felt it was important for us to have a discussion on accessibility and what's happening in Canada. So I'm going to actually turn the presentation over to Claudette, and I am going to send out the poll question here for everyone to answer, and I look forward to the discussion. So with that, thank you, Claudette. She joined us from Ottawa at the National Office for the Learning Disabilities Association of Canada, and she is a wealth of information and has done a lot of work across Canada in supporting Canadians with learning disabilities. So with that, thank you, Claudette, for joining us, and I look forward to what we have to share this afternoon and to answer and have a dialogue regarding our supports as we move forward.
Well, thank you, Brenda. Welcome, everyone. Good afternoon. This afternoon, I'm going to be talking about the current accessibility legislation that's out there in Canadian law. I hope that it generates a lot of questions and food for thought. I understand from Brenda that we have people from across the country and also a few from the United States. So unfortunately, I will not cover anything in the legislation for the United States. All of my talk today will be about current Canadian legislation. The Canadian law of accessibility is derived from many sources in Canada. We have the Charter of Rights and Freedom. We have the Canadian Human Rights Act. Each province and territory also have their own Human Rights Act. We also have the Canadian Copyright Act, and we also provinces are now starting to develop their own Disabilities Act. For example, in Ontario, the legislative, the Accessibility for Ontarians with Disabilities Act in 2005, known as the AODA. And the purpose of the AODA is to develop, implement, and enforce standards for accessibility related to goods and services, facilities, employment, accommodations, and building. And the target date for reaching this goal is January 1st, 2025. So what I'm going to talk about right now is the Charter of Rights and Freedom. In the Charter of Rights and Freedom, under Section 15, states that every individual is equal before the law, and one of the prohibited grounds of discrimination is physical disabilities. In the Canadian Human Rights Act, under Section 5 and 6, it states that access to goods, services, and facilities must not be denied to any individual on the basis of a prohibited ground of discrimination. And there needs to be an intent to discriminate as long as the effect of the practice is to create discrimination. Under the Provincial Territorial Human Rights Code, these are established in each province and territory and recognize that if you provide goods or services to the public, you must provide them equally to all people and not deny them to someone on the basis of their disability.
Claudette, I'm going to just interrupt
one minute.
Those individuals that are inaccessible event, please realize that you need to have GoToMeeting going on as well so that you will be able to hear Claudette. So you'll be able to hear me fine, but you need to have GoToMeeting running at the same time if you're using accessible event. So sorry for that interruption, but I wanted to share that information. Go ahead, Claudette.
All right. Thanks, Brenda. To carry on, the Canadian Copyright Act, in Section 32 of the Act, it permits the following reproduction of books in an alternative format. Section 32 is very specific. It's not an infringement of copyright for a person at the request of a person with a perceptual disability or for a nonprofit organization acting for his or her benefit to make a copy or sound recording of a literary, musical, artistic, or dramatic work other than a cinematographic work in a format specially designed for a person with perceptual disability. Now, the definition for a perceptual disability in the Act itself means a disability that prevents or inhibits a person from reading or hearing a literary, musical, dramatic, or artistic work in its original format. It includes such a disability resulting from a severe or total impairment of sight or hearing or the inability to focus on or move one's eyes, the inability to hold or manipulate a book, or an impairment relating to comprehension in reading.
Claudette, I'm
just
looking at our slides, and I'm wanting to know which one you are on right now.
Right now, I'm on, let me just double check here, I'm on slide 12.
Okay, thanks. Just tell me when we're going to change slides.
Oh, sorry.
Thanks.
I keep forgetting to do that. My apologies, I'm brand new at this. I have to instruct Brenda to go to next slide, please.
Thanks.
Next, okay, page 12, Brenda, next slide.
Okay.
So, according to the Canadian Copyright Act, as long as you have a perceptual disability and you have to understand that a learning disability is considered a perceptual disability under the Act. For those who have difficulties with reading, comprehension, and the processes of with phonological processes. So a person who has a reading disability qualifies as having a perceptual disability. It's also, under the Canadian Copyright Act, You can translate, adapt, or reproduce in sign language a literary or dramatic work in a format specifically designed for persons with a perceptual disability, or perform in public a literary or dramatic work other than a cinematographic work in sign language, either live or in format specially designed for persons with a perceptual disability. Next slide, Brenda, page 13. So under the Canadian Copyright Act, they have very specific details as to how this can be done. And they use the word commercially available a lot in relation to a work or other subject matter. The limitations basically is that there are a couple of limitations. Under the Canadian Copyright Act, it does not provide the authorization making of a large print book, and also does not apply where the work or sound recording is commercially available in a format specifically designed to meet the needs of any person referred to in that subsection. So what they mean by commercially available is in relation to a work, a CD, or a book, means that it is available on the Canadian market within a reasonable time and for a reasonable price and may be located with reasonable effort. So at this point in time, page 14, questions and chat comments.
So I'm going to go back and someone asked for the legislation again, and this is from Jane. Is it possible to get the list of legislations back in view? So I'm going to turn this back in view, Jane.
And okay.
Jane is an active person looking at support. So we're going to go back to, let me just move this out of the way, the human rights. We're going back to the legislation. And what we will do is actually open it up for questions a little bit later on. I don't see any. If you have any questions, then please post them, and we will answer them. So here is the accessibility legislation that Claudette was speaking about. Jane is actually very active in creating the legislation, not the legislation, but making sure Canadians also have access across Canada. And I worked with her on the CNIB Library Board, and is a great asset. So that's one of our just as well. I'm going to scroll down to see if there's any other questions. I'm assuming everyone is now seeing the presentation. So that's the case, and I think that we are back on. So I'm going to continue on with the presentation. If anyone has questions, we'll answer them in our next section. Just give me 1 second. I see that there's a hand up. So I'm going to unmute Janet, and she's going to ask a question. Go ahead, Janet. So Janet is unmuted. Is no one seeing the slides? Claudette, can you tell me if anyone is seeing the slides?
No. I haven't either.
Oh, this happened the last time. And it's not. It says that that you are.
Okay.
But just hold on.
No, I'm seeing the poll results.
Okay. Thank you. Give me 1 second. I have been changing them here. This is new for me for this. Is that now being shown?
Yes.
Thank
Perfect.
You.
Perfect.
Sorry about that. That was my technical difficulty. So I'm going to go back here and actually show you the legend.
The slide. Yes, the slide that Jane would like to see is slide 7.
Okay, thank you. So here are the slides. Sorry, everyone, about that. And we have this. And what I'm going to do is actually post this to the presentation when I post it onto our website, so you can take a look at the slide presentation as well. That we have. So there's a lot of information about the Canadian Copyright Act that Claudette spoke about, as well as our next information. So with that, we are going to continue on, Claudette. Thank you.
Okay. The AODA, which stands for Accessibility for Ontarians with Disabilities Act, came into effect in Ontario in 2005. And basically, the standards state what businesses and other organizations in Ontario must do to make the provisions of their goods and services more accessible to people with disabilities. It looks at 5 areas along with target dates to comply. And Ontario now has its first accessibility standard for customer service, which came into effect January 1st, 2008. The other areas, what is happening is that they have developed working groups in Ontario to work, to have each working group work in the other 4 areas that they are developing standards for, and these 4 areas, page 16, are transportation, information and communications, the built environment, and employment. So on this slide, there's a link to the Ontario Ministry of Community and Social Services, which is the one that is responsible for the act doing all of this. Doing all of the standards for this, for the Accessibility for Ontarians Disabilities Act. Most businesses and other organizations that provide goods and services to people in Ontario must meet the legal requirements of the standard by January 1st, 2010. For those in that with that date, we're looking at people who are businesses who are in the public sector organization. So that includes Legislative Assembly, the Ontario Government Ministries, some boards and agencies, and broader public sector organizations, including municipalities, school boards, community colleges, universities, public hospitals, and public transportation organizations. The next date to meet the legal requirements of the standards for goods and services, or for customer service, I should say, is January 1st, 2012. And those are all other providers of goods or services with at least 1 employee in Ontario, such as a private sector business, not-for-profit organizations, and those public sector organizations that are not designated in the standards. So Ontario is moving forward on this. I know that they have, they are looking at some of the, at the other 4 right now, especially in the employment and accommodations. They have a really a working group right now that's working on that, and it's generating a lot of discussions, and these focus groups are going across Ontario to do this. Also, with each standard, they will identify the businesses and organizations that need to comply, and they will set the dates for meeting the requirements of the standard. There may be different compliance dates for different types of businesses and other organizations. So this is for many other provinces. They are looking at Ontario right now to see how this is working out. I know there are some provinces out there that are interested in putting together a Disabilities Act for their own province, but they're sort of waiting to see what is happening and how Ontario will work with this one. Next slide. Some of the concerns regarding accessibility and for alternative formats, individuals with learning disabilities across Canada are not comfortable entering into their local libraries. Because of their past experiences with school, the negative impact it's had on their emotional psychic, many of them are just not comfortable in walking into a public library and asking for alternative formats. Also, the Copyright Act requires that an individual identify themselves as having a print disability to be able to access the collection. And this is causing difficulty across the country because each region is different in the way that they're asking for identification. Some have to fill out a form, have to get a doctor to fill it out and sign it, and others can simply just self-identify. So there needs to be a consistent way across the country from city to city, rural to urban, in the way that an individual with a print disability identifies themselves at the library in order to access the alternative format collection. And also, we're looking at standards that are consistent with producers and publishers in providing that alternative format collection. So those are some of the concerns out there. Brenda, I think the next slide is yours.
Okay.
So you can start the discussion on your next slide with the DAISY.
Great. What I'm actually going to do is open up the entire – I have people that have some questions, and I'm actually going to unmute everyone, so please be aware of that. Some of you have screen readers, I know from the past. So we are going to unmute all of you, and I know that Eric has a question. And that might have been by accident because I know that over 67% of you are new webinars. And if there's any question or discussion regarding what Claudette has had at this time, we're going to have that now, and then we'll move on to what is DAISY. So I'm going to leave the mic, it's open mics for just a minute if we have some questions. Jane, you might have some extra comments as well, so I'm just unmuting everyone. If you don't have a microphone, that's fine. For those people that do and would like to say something, I'm going to be quiet for a minute. So, Eric, do you have a question? Okay. With that, I'm going to mute you all again, and we'll move on to what is DAISY. And I think this is some really interesting information to share with you. Okay, so giving you a little bit of history about myself. Sorry about that. I was approached years ago and asked to look at what is accessibility, and that there are services being provided internationally that were not being provided here that I didn't realize were happening. And DAISY is actually an international standard. It stands for Digital Accessible Information Systems, and it is a standard that is created for publishers and for individuals to follow to make sure everyone has access. There are books that are being created in Australia, in India, in Europe, in the United States, and in Canada in this particular format. Under DAISY, there's actually three different flavors in which you can have a file from. And one of those flavors is that you would actually just receive the text format, and you would use a screen reader or computer program to read that information back to you. The second flavor would be that it's in an audio format, and there was someone that was asking a question, and we'll talk about copyright and, you know, why are we only able to receive an audio book, sometimes in accessible format. So one of the flavors is just audio information, and this is, for example, CNIB has a huge collection, and we're going to talk about how we can access that audio collection of someone that has read that material, and we can access to move it. What DAISY really is, it allows you to navigate between your pages, chapters, and sections. So if I am an instructor and I want you to go to page 52, if you were using cassettes in the past, how did you ever get to page 52? So the publisher creates a tag and you say, I want to go to page 52, and instantly you're there. And if you wanted to go to page 32, then you can jump to page 32, where if we don't have that standard in place, you would be fast-forwarding, rewinding. You can never go to the exact location. And so it is one or more digital formats containing human narration is one of the formats. I'm going to move this out of the way. A part or all of the source text. And so there's organizations such as Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic that also create just audio formats. And as we move forward, there are some people that the third flavor is where you can have text and audio. So I've actually created a tutorial through the Save as DAISY Word plugin. So we now, through our Word documents, can create a completely accessible file that has both text and audio that synchronizes together for us. It allows for markups containing some or all of the text. Strictly speaking, this is markup text is optional. So it synchronizes files to relate markings in the text file with time points in audio files. So this allows us to go to certain spots within that document. And if you want more information about DAISY, I'm going to read the last point. A navigation control file which enables the user to move smoothly between files while synchronizing between text and audio is maintained. And we can go to DAISY, www.daisy.org, and they have tons of information. They have different players that will play this format. This is a format, so it's like a Word document or a WordPerfect document. And sometimes you need to make sure that you have players that actually provide that particular format. The benefit for individuals is that we can now navigate that material, and we typically can vary that playback speed without having it sound like a chipmunk. That's the other advantage to this. So I'm going to now open it up for questions and comments, and I'm going to check our questions here. Someone asked the comment, my understanding is that the states are working on their own format. I work within the states a lot, and one of the formats that they have created is actually under the umbrella of DAISY, and it's called the NIMAC, which stands for the National Instructional Materials Accessibility Standard. And so what they've done is taken features from DAISY, and they now have all publishers, they are required to put those files, especially for the school kids, into a collection. So I think that that's probably the question that's being answered. It's not their own file format, but it is a subset of that standard, which is DAISY. So the other question that was answered is, why are we only allowed access to Canadian material, example, audiobooks? It has to go back to the copyright agreement, and I'm going to be sharing some information here in the future about some future endeavors as well that we have access to. We have not been at the same level as the U.S. has in creating some of this content. We have done it under WRAP. We use we all will scan the same material, and so I'm going to move forward, and we're going to talk about what are some options for us as well. And Michael, I hope that that answered the question regarding that standard. So I wanted to talk about the Partners Program, and the reason I wanted to share this with you is just to make you aware, because I wasn't aware, and I used to run support services here in where I live in Saskatchewan, actually. And so the Partners Program was created so all individuals across Canada could have access to content, and this was the solution, because through the CNIB, they have created a library that was to support individuals that are blind or low vision. And so you have to have vision loss to be able to access this. So CNIB created something called the Partners Program, and it's through your local library, and you can go and ask to have access in an accessible format where someone has read that material and you can access it. So what's great about this is now we have access to more material, and we are able to access it in an accessible format as well. So many people I know, my mother read textbooks and material and to me, and if she was able to capture that under the copyright, more than one person can listen to that file. And what we need to do, and I'm going to open up a sample document, because it's important for us to realize that this is the case. And this is a sample. When we go into our local library, typically we will have a button here, and not all libraries are a partner's member at this time, but we can go through our library and look at our outreach services, and within our outreach services, it will talk about who can borrow the material. It is going to, and there's a form on here, and so Claudette spoke about this. We all need to have that designation. They can't just let this go out to anyone. So there's a form that is needed to be filled in, and it's right here. So it's the Talking Book Services Eligibility Form, and you need to have someone authorize that you have a print disability and can access these services. And so this is wonderful that we now have this collection. Many times in this particular case, this library actually has players that you're able to access, which is great. There's also sometimes some free software available, but many people don't realize that individuals with print disabilities can access this collection of materials. And in the future, that's going to change. And so we need to be aware of it and accessing that as well. So, if you are in a province, I know that Alberta has a very strong partners program. I know that here in Saskatchewan, where I live, there's also a strong partners program. But go to your library and realize that there's a whole other collection of materials in a different format that we can have access to. So there are players. There is some free software actually through HumanWare. We have some free 30-day trials that will just allow you to have access to that material as well. And I'm going to turn it over to Claudette and see if she has anything else to add to this, as long as she's still with me. Claudette, are you still there? I'm going to unmute her, and that will help. There we go. Claudette. You're now active. Sorry about that.
Okay, yes, I'm here, but you caught me by surprise. Do I have anything to add to this? Well, I think one of the things that I need to add is that, as I said previously, the form to access this collection at the public library is different depending where you are in Canada. It's different from urban to rural. It's different from big city to small city. It's different from province to province, from municipality and to municipality. So one of the things that LDAC is trying to put into place is a consistent way of being able to identify a person with a learning disability who wants to access the collection in the public libraries. So this is something that we're working on right now, not only with CNIB, but also with several partners across Canada, including the Canadian Library Association. So those are things that we hope to improve on. As you know, it's difficult for many people to have a full diagnosis. The assessment is very expensive. And so what would be, we have to look at what would be the minimum way of being able to say, yes, this person has a definite learning disability in the area of reading and qualify to access the collection. So those are things that LDAC is currently working on.
Great. Thanks, Claudette, for that verification. So our next comment is that I wanted to speak about, and we did a presentation actually last week with Bookshare.org, and it's a collection down in, it's an organization down in the United States, that individuals that have scanned in material now send material to this particular location. And if we want to have access across Canada, we can have access to this collection, and if we go to that website, we actually have access to about 5,000 free titles right now in different formats. So you don't have to scan that information in. It's already available to you. So Bookshare.org has some grants within the United States, but they also are able to service us here in Canada, which is great. But what has to happen is material has to be sent to Bookshare.ca, and I'm going to do a session specifically with Bookshare to show you how we access that and what they are doing and what we need to do to increase that collection as well. So as materials are added to that, we are going to have more resources here in Canada. We cannot access the U.S. repository due to the Copyright Act at this time. Some of the publishers are allowing us to have access, so we actually have access as a Canadian to 8,000 titles. There is a fee for service, though, and so it's well worth it if, as long as your material is there, and we will increase that resource for more people to have access when more people send in files. It has to be proofread here in Canada. That is the rule. They can't send it to the U.S. and be proofed. And so I'm going to have VG come back and talk specifically about Canadians and what we can do to increase that collection of materials. So, and I also know I would like to have the person running Bookshare for Canada. And we have a, at the very top here, this is the, not, is it the URL, but it's www.bookshare.org, and that's the U.S. Chapter. There is actually a specific email address for Canadians. And one of the reasons why this is great, upon also the Partners Program, we also are going to have increase to, we'll have some free digital books. And because of the uncopyrighted books, we have access to all of those. This particular library is actually accessible 24/7. There's flexible membership options. There's 7-point digital rights management system. So for publishers and organizations where we're sending information, there is encrypted material so that we know that is not being shared inappropriately. So, and also when people do become a member, there is free assistive technology software download. There's flexible formats, so there's also DAISY and BRF. And there is a variety of assistive technologies that work with this collection of material, and they provide it in a multi-sensory approach as well. So with that, I am going to open it up here. I either have a comment or a question. And so I've got hands raised. Just give me a second as I look them over. There's a question from Michelle, and it is, what if they do not or will not offer this service? What is my recourse? What can we do? So if a library is not part of the Partners Program, what is the solution to that? And I would say there is actually a bit of lobbying going on, so actually Canadians have access to that entire collection. The Partners Program actually will be finished here in the next year due to the cost of maintaining that library. And that's, you know, it's great that an organization has created it, but really it should be governed in library services. So the recourse is to let me know if it doesn't work for you to ask for that material. And there's sometimes a question needs to be asked. And when I've gone out to libraries, some people don't even know that the Partners Program exists and that we can access this, and it actually goes through your provincial library. So, Claudette, can you speak about the provincial versus the federal organization and for this particular question?
For public libraries, what you'll find is they get their funding through various means. So you may have a public library, and I'm sure Jane, who's online here, can speak to this because she has a library background. But many of them get their funding through the municipality. Some of them get their funding through the provinces. And so they have various ways of, not everybody has the budget to be able to access a lot of the books, especially those who get their funding through the municipalities. When someone cannot access the Partners Program, then one of the things that you may want to do is go to the CNIB Library website and register there and go through their library and see whether or not they have what you want and become a member at the CNIB Library. For the next 2 years, at least, that will be available. There is a movement underway to look at providing the collection that is available at the CNIB to everyone who qualifies. That means who has a designation. And so until that is done, this is the only way that we can do it. But we are trying to make it accessible to everyone across the country. And until that happens, we don't anticipate that happening for at least 2-3 years, I would suggest that you go through the CNIB collection and register, become a member, and look at their libraries, at their collection selection, and see if you have anything in there that is that interests you.
I'm going to actually open this up for Jane to speak regarding this, and I wanted I'm going to do that right now. So, Jane, your mic is being unmuted, so please go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, so that's great.
Okay, great. I'm Jane Beaumont, and I'm was a member of the CNIB Library Board, and I'm a librarian and have been very involved in this. I just wanted to clarify a couple of things that Claudette was saying. Unless you are a CNIB client, i.e. that you have vision loss at some level, you can't actually join the CNIB library directly. You, if you have vision loss, a person can join CNIB and join the library. If you don't have vision loss, you do have to go to your public library to get access to the CNIB collections, which is audio, primarily the audio collections. And it's really important that we all understand that only some provinces are partners at the moment. British Columbia, Alberta, Manitoba are the primary partners, and then there are quite a number of libraries in Ontario. With respect to Claudette's comments about the 2 years, CNIB has launched a very strong lobbying campaign to get both provincial and federal funding for the library. None of us believe that a charity should be running this library service. And so if you don't have, if you know someone with a learning disability or a print disability who would like, could really benefit from access to the CNIB library, by all means go to your public library and find out if they're partners. If they're not, then you need to get in touch. Even Claudette can put you in touch with the person at CNIB, who is the National Government Relations Director. Her name's Kathy Moore. And you can join the lobbying effort to get your province to join the Partners Program. What CNIB has said is that we need funding for the next 2 years to keep the library going, and we need the provinces to contribute. And I can only say, as a CNIB board member, we would welcome anyone who will help us with the lobbying effort. But I hope that clarifies who can go directly to CNIB and who needs to go to their public library and maybe start the lobbying effort and work with us to get this changed. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Jane. And that is the case here. So only because people ask for it will we move forward in saying that there is a need. And so right now the Partners Program, when I've gone to it, is actually servicing a lot of seniors and people with physical disabilities as well. And there's a huge area that people need to realize that this is a resource to them and to ask for that resource. And if we don't ask for it, people don't realize that it's that people want it. So do you tell people about it first, or do you create the service first? And I think we need to start that discussion and share that information. And so, Jane, thanks for all the work that you've done on that and clarifying with that. I know that we now have access to the Partners Program as well. And so it is a fee-for-service, but it allows people to have accessible materials.
But Brenda, it's important. The fee is actually to the library, not to the individual who wants to use it.
Thanks. Thanks, Jane. I thought that myself. I didn't share that with everyone else. So I have another question from someone that says, as a low vision person, I'd like to suggest another site. And there's something called a net library. So there's an email link, and we're going to go across this in the next little while and look at some other resources as well. So there is something called www.netlibrary.com, and there's lots of different free resource information as well out there. I wanted to clarify something. When we have access to Bookshare material, they create a format called BRF, and this is actually refreshable Braille. And so there's computer systems that will create the Braille, and that's what BRF stands for individuals that didn't know that. And I'm sorry I didn't clarify that earlier. So I wanted to go on and say there's lots of information that Canadians can have access that is already created. And we have the Partners Program that you've now heard about for individuals with print disabilities. Those people with learning disabilities need to be asking for it, and you will have a larger collection of audio material. There's lots of libraries that also have an audio collection as well, but the advantage of the Partners Program is that it is accessible. We can navigate through that book. And I've got to clarify whether the Bookshare.ca website, we're going to do a session on that. So CA just means that we're looking at the Canadian services there. We also can be asking, and I know that Athabasca has done a great job of collecting materials. If we don't ask for material in different formats and are willing to scan the material, publishers are not going to say that they want to produce that. And I know that I spent many, many hours scanning in textbooks, and publishers have that text available to them. So talk to your disability resource officers at post-secondary and see if you can get a text file so that you actually do not have to rescan in information. And so that's great when they provide that, and they should be providing it since you've already purchased the textbook. Having individuals that are blind purchase a textbook in a non-accessible format does not make sense to me, just as well as someone with a learning disability that needs to have it read back with a computer program or hardware device does not make sense as well. Audible.com is another resource of new released books that are in the audio format, and that's where I receive a lot of information. We also can go online to Gutenberg.com. These are free uncopyrighted books that we can have access to, and there's about 5,000 in that collection. We also have LibriVox.com, and this is an audio collection that people are volunteering and then posting the free uncopyrighted books as well. If you want to, you can also go in and ask for free MP3 files. These are not accessible in the same way. We are not able to navigate, but there is material being created. And then we also have free text off of, you can type in collections, and there's books and materials that we can just copy and have read. Some of the challenges, if we do not have access to the technology that goes with this, is that we have difficulty with decoding. Individuals with learning disabilities struggle with decoding, and all the energy goes into decoding. And I'll give you an example. And so if you've heard me before, this is a standard example. When I read material by myself and it's a very content-rich document, it takes me an hour to read 3 and 4 pages. And when I have the supports where it's read back to me, through technology, I'm able to get through about 30 pages in that hour because I need to hear it and see it to understand it. This helps individuals that are slow processing. It enhances comprehension. It helps to organize ideas. It helps us to pay attention. And it helps us to complete assignments. So with that, I'm going to open up to any other questions that we might have as well, and I wanted to let you know about future presentations, but let's see if there's any other questions that have been generated through our discussion here, and we'll try and answer those. Claudette, do you have anything else to say regarding the comments at all? If not, we are going to finish up here because it's about our hour.
At this point, no, but I just wanted to thank Jane for giving us that information. And I think I'd like to really stress what Jane said. If the services are not there at your public library, to ask for them and to lobby for them. It's the only way that things are going to change. And unless people know of the need out there, things will not change. That's it, Brenda.
Thanks so much for that. I wanted to let you know that we have some other presentations coming up here in the next little while as well. So HumanWare is offering a parent presentation, and we're talking about how to work with the school system and understanding learning disabilities. That's going to happen on Thursday. You need to register for that presentation as well. We also are doing a presentation with Bookshare on post-secondary services on November 4th. And some great information. And then we're going to follow that up with what do disability services centers offer? And if there's someone in our group here today that would like to be a part of that discussion, I would love to have you as well, because we're looking at different universities, and different universities have different services. We will be having an educational therapist identify what is an educational therapist and what services they provide on November 18th. And then I'm also doing a presentation on the Classmate Reader 101, where to find content. And we've touched on some of those pieces of information today. I also wanted to let you know that we post this information. And so we have a collection of information. If you've never attended before, we have past presentations that have been posted. And it is under our products tab. And then under our products tab, there's a spot that says product presentations. And there's a whole list of past presentations that you can sign up for and be aware of. So I wanted to thank Claudette for sharing this information. I know that it's always very scary the first time that we are speakers on a presentation like this, and I thank Claudette for taking that leap and sharing this information so that people across Canada have access to the information and realize the great initiatives that are going on here and that we need to be aware of. So if you want to get a hold of Claudette, please, this is her email address. It is C, and I'm going to have you, it's Claudette, and which is C-L-A-U-D-E-T-T-E at LDAC-ACTA.ca. So if you have an email that you want to connect with her, then please do so. You can also reach me. I'm Brenda McBride at brenda.mcbride@humanware.com. You can reach me at my 800 number, which is 888-723-7273. I'm extension 320. And so if you have ideas for future presentations, I know that the services here in Canada are different and our needs are different than other places in the world. So I'm always willing to look at different venues and subjects that we can cover. And so with that, I want to thank you for attending and look forward to seeing you back here in our GoToMeeting presentation. And thanks for venturing into something new in the world of webinars. I know that it's exciting for us all as we are willing to ask questions and share that information. So with that, I'm going to sign off. I thank Claudette. I thank Jane for her comments today. I'm going to let Claudette say any final comments that she might have for us.
Thanks, Brenda. I really enjoyed this this experience. And I want to thank everybody who provided us with some of their comments. This is totally new for all of us. And if there is a situation out there or you have concerns, please do contact me. I will be working in the next few months with our group at the CNIB and other organizations who are heavily involved in this new proposal that we're putting forward. And if you have any concerns or issues that you want us to address, please email me. Brenda, thank you for this opportunity. I really enjoyed it. And hopefully we can get some good comments for possibly new and next presentations. Thank you, and have a great evening, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.